On my way to service, a word came to my mind, and that word was substance. And while it's not necessarily part of it, it's something that I desire to have this morning in this message, is substance. This word substance means the quality of being important, valid, or significant. You know, we of the Church of God, we do not come expecting to be entertained, do we?
No.
And yet we are entertained.
Praise the Lord.
We're entertained by the Spirit of the Lord. We're entertained by the words that we sing and the songs. The songs have messages in them. We can be entertained by each other's spirit, just being here, just looking across and seeing your faces, and it's a blessing, and it brings joy, and having the Spirit of the Lord is a major substance of our services, and we want the Spirit of the Lord. We covet the Spirit of the Lord to be here with us. We covet the anointing of the Spirit. We cannot make alive the Word of the Lord like the Spirit of the Lord can. So we invite the Spirit of the Lord to come this morning and meet with us. And I have felt a great dependency this morning. I'm just going to confess, sometimes I feel so ignorant of how to deliver the Word of God. I know I've ministered for a number of years, but it doesn't seem to matter. I still feel such a dependency on the need of the Lord blessing the word. And you know, I feel like that the word of the Lord says for us to, gives us a charge to search out the words and to feed the flock, and that's what we want. We want you to be fed this morning spiritually, and we can only do that if God does it. Thank the Lord. Well, I have what I feel like might be some jumbled thoughts, and I'm looking to the Lord to put them together. I'm starting with a statement from Matthew Henry. And if I would have a title, I would call this Spiritual Maturity. So this statement says, it is the fundamental law of admission into the school of Christ. Are you in a school this morning? You know, we may not have a literal school that we go to, but every one of us are being taught something and we're learning something. And we're in the school of Christ has a greater purpose than the public school system. You know, it's very important that our children learn. We don't want them to grow up and be dumb and ignorant, and they can't do addition problems. And we want them to be able to read, and so we begin at a certain age teaching them, and actually long before they're really to be in school, we're teaching them, aren't we? And the scripture even tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he won't depart from it. But you know, God's interested in our training of life itself. We had a message just last Sunday, I think, about the different stages of life and being contented in those stages. But this goes on and it says that the fundamental law of admission into the school of Christ and the first and great lesson in this school is to deny ourselves. That doesn't sound too exciting, does it? It is both the straight gate and the narrow way. It's included. The straight gate and the narrow way. And we must not lean to our own understanding. So there's a lot in that this morning. And I want to just simply insert here that if we name the name of Christ, let us not trust in our own righteousness. We will fail. You'll make an F on your test. Don't trust in your own righteousness. Trust in the Lord God and in the graces of God and what He wants to do in your life. Trust Him that He's leading you in the right way and that He will not give you more than you're able to bear, though you think at times it's more than you can bear. So as we think about the public schools and providing education and developing knowledge and skills to succeed in life, that's what their purpose is. And from the time of a first grade or kindergarten or preschool, whichever would be the beginning, they need a teacher, don't they? And they need someone that teaches on their level and that is able to give them words that they will understand. I read this I'm not sure where it was, but it was many years ago. And in that particular school system, they all went to a little preschool and they had to pass a certain math steps to go to the next level. And this little boy, he could not understand adding and subtraction. And he had to pass it in order to go to the next level. And one day he said that they had a baby in their family, and his mother was sterilizing the bottles for the baby. And he was looking, and he said, all of a sudden he saw there were 3 pink bottles and 4 blue bottles. And it clicked in his mind that 3 plus 4 was 7. And he passed the test. He was able to grasp the concept, and he went on and had a PhD in math. You know, that's what the Lord's looking for in us, that we can, even at a young age, begin to grasp the concepts of 3 plus 4 is 7, not necessarily literally, but what the Lord in His Word is saying. Remember, Matthew Henry said, part of the fundamental law of admission was the straight gate and the narrow way. And we have to remember that both of those are hard. And our flesh wants to draw back from things that are hard. It's common to us to not want to suffer. It's common for you and me to not want to pass through hard trials. And when they start, don't we sometimes beg the Lord to get us out of it? Oh, save me out of this. And yet, if we will submit and just get very quiet before the Lord, He'll use that very thing to pass to another level, to develop and to grow in the things of God. And there is not a graduating place between here and the end. The end of your life is the place of graduation. And so we're ever going to have to be passing through hard places and learning, and we're always going to have to be developing and growing and maturing. You will have to always reach forth to the things that are before. And that's part of maturing and growing and developing. So I'm going to give you a little bit of how God really looks at us. You know, we do not put a child in first grade and expect them to do ninth grade work. We don't do that, do we? We let them learn what they can learn and develop and grow, and God is the same way with you and me. When we start out, we're like in the first grade. And when we start out, we're like babes. And there's words in the Bible. This one is it. 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, I, brethren, speak unto you even as to babes in Christ. Oh, you know, God is a gracious, loving, and merciful God. What if he required the little children to behave like they will behave? You know, they're just little children. But they're going to learn how to conduct themselves in church. But we're not going to make them be little robots, are we? God is the same way. He wants you to learn of him little by little. The scripture calls it line upon line and precept upon precept. And here a little and there a little. And he just wants us to just stay in the way, stay in the straight and narrow way. Hebrews 5:13. It says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Isn't that precious? Have you looked back at when you first got saved? Now, some of us were probably a little more responsible because we grew up in it. We were taught from babes. Our parents taught us. We were taken to church. And so we heard a lot of things. You've heard me say that when I was a little girl, I heard the preaching. I didn't look like it. And sometimes we look at the children and we think, oh, they're just got their mind somewhere else. They don't always. They sometimes are taking in more than we think. Well, that was how I was. And I heard it and I said to myself as a little girl, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. You know, that's out there. God wasn't calling for me to be a grown-up saint when I was 5 years old. He's still going to work with me as a babe. And then Paul also continued in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians 2. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat or solid food. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Oh, isn't the Lord gracious that he doesn't make us grow up faster than what we need to? Don't you know, and we all know this, we know that a baby that grows and develops at a normal pace and rate is a healthier baby. They walk at a certain time. They talk at a certain time. They're not born walking. It develops. And that's how the Lord is with you and me. So kind and gentle. And he There's a song that says, He leads His dear people along. He's a leader. He's not a driver. We don't want to get it in our minds and judge Him as a hard God. He's not hard. He wants us to grow in a way that we can be normal and a blessing. And it goes on and it says that there were things that we weren't able to bear. I am so glad that the Lord knows how to give us what we're able to bear at the right age spiritually. I'm going to tell you that when Mabel and Larry were coming to service here, and they didn't have a Church of God background, and the truth is they didn't know our vocabulary. Does the Church of God have a vocabulary? We do. We understand terms. And I went before the Lord as the minister, and I said, Lord, how am I going to minister to the congregation and minister to them too? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you preach what I give you, what they don't need to hear. I will block it. They won't hear it. I witnessed that. It may have sounded like that we were overloading them, but God protected them. I saw it happen. So what you don't need to hear, God's going to block it. But at the right time, He's going to open it up and you will hear it. That's how He works. Thank the Lord for that. Let's skip on down to our teacher. Who is our teacher? Why do we often stress the importance of the work of sanctification? It's a second work of grace. The first work of grace is receiving forgiveness and justification and Christ being in us. And there are people that stop there. But it's not a stopping place. God has some more land for you to take and another stage for you to grasp hold of. And it's a valuable place. And we stress it. We stress the value of going on to the second work of grace called sanctification. Now, it was very difficult for me to understand it. And I grew up in it. There were different ways it was explained. There were different interpretations of it. And it was difficult. But I want to tell you, it's really not hard to understand. If the Holy Spirit is the one showing it to you and teaching you. Now, I'm going to say this because this is how it was taught when I was growing up, and I think some of the older ones here would remember it. We were taught that sanctification, that it was like it made you dead. That you would be like in a casket and the people would walk by and this one would criticize you and say bad things about you, but it wouldn't hurt you because you were dead. And then people would come by and they would praise you and lift you up, but you wouldn't lift up because you were dead. That wasn't a balanced teaching. You're still alive. You're still human. You can have the Holy Spirit in your life, but you're still alive. You're not dead. Yes, the scripture says we die daily. There is a place of dying to myself. It's in the reading that one of those main principles was to deny myself. When I am criticized, whose responsibility is it to rise above it? Me. I'm the one that is to overcome when somebody is not very nice to me. And when somebody comes along and lifts me up and the enemy wants me to be lifted up, whose responsibility is it? I still have ears. I can hear. I'm alive. I know what's been said. It's my responsibility through the grace of God to not give in to those things, see? So I play a part. So I go down to the altar. It was at the Guthrie meeting, and I'm putting in for sanctification. And oftentimes, because we didn't fully understand it, the minister would say, "Take it by faith." And that's where I was. And that's what was said. Take it by faith. So I get up and I head home. There's not cell phones at that time, and I wasn't even home, and I was already questioning and wondering about my work of sanctification. I stop at a payphone and call Sister Souter. And she tries to encourage me in it. And so I don't know how to attain it. That was at the Guthrie meeting, and it comes Monarch and another message on sanctification, and I said, "Well, I don't think I got it, so I'm going to go down to the altar again." Let me tell you what happened. I hardly had my knee to the floor, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "What are you doing here? You have it." Well, I really didn't understand what I had, but let me tell you, he's a teacher. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. That's why it's so valuable to pursue that step of sanctification and being filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to be so full that you're ready to graduate. It's something that grows and develops in your life, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. As you mature and as you grow, it opens up. It won't be completely opened up as soon as it happens. It's a work of the Spirit. And I found it to be so. When we are saved and we are starting on the highway to heaven, we do it step by step. And we grow. In our salvation, we grow. In our sanctification, it is the same. You're still on the same highway, and you're pursuing the same goal. You are reaching forth to the things that are above and not the things of the earth. And little by little, the Spirit of the Lord is revealing your flesh and your weaknesses. And you work through those and you overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony and all of that. And you grow and you're maturing and you're getting a little bit stronger. Now, is there a place that you get the fullness of it? My opinion is it's an ever-growing, ever-developing work of God to my last breath. I don't know any place along the way I can sit down and say, "Well, I've got it all." That's the goodness of the Lord. He wants to be there to help you to grow little by little. Oh, I want to tell you, it's precious. I do not doubt my sanctification. I am still growing in it. And that's the graciousness of God. And that's how he is with you too. Now, I'm going to insert here just a little bit. Oh, I'm not even following my notes this morning. When we testify, it's so important. Prayer meeting is so important. And I want the Spirit of the Lord to minister in our prayer meeting equally as much as he would in our regular worship service. And he can. But it's up to each of us to come filled and to have something from God. Now, it's not a bad thing to repeat your testimonies. I have, since December the 12th, when God gave me a great deliverance, I have told it over and over and over, and I will continue to tell it because the scripture says that's how I am going to overcome. I'm going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. But let me tell you something. The word testify means to give an account of what has happened in your life. I mean, that's the basic. It's good to tell of your salvation. I have told it to the congregation many times of the night I got saved at Monarch. Never to give up again. That's what I always add. You remember that. When I got saved, never to give up again. Why do I say that? Because I was up and down, clear until I was 30 years old. But there came a place that God gave me something that I could live with the rest of my life. And yes, it's good for us to remember those places. The scripture talks about us. Remember the pit from which you were digged. Now, we don't magnify the pit to the people. In other words, I don't get up and I don't tell you all of the bad things that I did when I, before I got saved, never to give up again. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was on the way to hell. But I don't tell you all what kind of person I was. That's under the blood. Praise God. When he forgives, he forgets. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
So it may come back to me, the pit from which I came out of. But I don't want to magnify it. I lift up that power that changed me from who I was to who I am. Thank the Lord. I'm a new creature now. Oh, does that mean that I'm just going to have all of that joy and that? No, you've heard me say that when I got saved, I was miserable in my salvation for a reason. You're not going to feel that way, hopefully. I had given God up for Lorne so many times. He wasn't wanting to live for the Lord. And there was such a gulf between us, I gave God up for him. And I thought I would do it again. And so I'm sitting in my camper and I'm saying, Lord, I cannot live this way. I've got to have something more. And the Spirit of the Lord came down. And he spoke to me and he said, you can love Lorne all you want, just love me the most. That's the answer to success. Love God the most. Love him supreme. And you won't fail. And I got my first victory and I never gave up. So salvation is a testimony of what the work of God has done in us, and it's the same with our sanctification. I want to encourage us to begin to testify to the work. It's good to say, I'm saved and sanctified. That's good. But your testimony can include the work. That you're not where you once were. That you have overcome this or that. You don't have to tell everything about it, see? But magnify the power of God that is working in you and in me. And overcoming those places of my humanity where God comes and he says, Maxine, I want you to give this up for me. And he's done several things, many things. He knows my heart. He knows my personality. He knows my characteristics. And he knows my weaknesses. And he knows yours too. This is where the value of the Spirit of God working in us, because when he says, I want you to give this up for me, and you know it's the truth, as soon as he says it, and you've heard me say that this is one of the ways I always know it's the Spirit of the Lord. It's spoken in such tender tones. And I've tried to imitate it in your hearing like this. And it's more than once, many things. I do not preach those things because it's personal to me. You may not have the problem at all. You may have a different problem. But if you will listen to the still small voice, remember the prophet, and he was wanting to, he said that the voice of God was not in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the wind or whatever those elements were happening. And sometimes we sort of look for loud, something that just, you know, I've heard people say, well, he'd just have to drop something, a stone on my head. No, listen to the still small voice. Because that's what the prophet found, was the still small voice. But this is how the Lord always spoke to me when he was calling for something for me to give up. Won't you give it up for me? Won't you give that up for the gospel? And it was so soft and so tender, I couldn't resist it. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll give that up. And you know what was next? He gave me a grace that I was able to do it. And I have not taken it back up again. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So when we testify, let that be evident of the power that works. Let us find in the Word of God the Word that coordinates with the work that is being done in us. And our testimonies will be anointed. I'm not putting everybody in a box and saying you don't need to ever testify about what God has done for you in the past, but testify to the work of God. That's where the glory. He will be glorified. God will be lifted up and glorified if we lift him up. Thank the Lord. Now, thank the Lord. I love it when the babes begin to imitate us. Don't you? Yes. Don't you know it's a joy to God's ears as the little ones begin? And what I love is also when they begin raising their hand in song. They look around and they see us raising our hand, and then they do it. Oh, That's precious. Lord, help me to know what to do now or to say. We're not going to hold very long. I think that I'm going to go over I'm going to go to Romans now, and we're going to probably try to end with this. Romans 8, we're going to be looking at. Let me turn over because I think I want to refer to some verses just ahead of this. Romans, the 8th chapter. Starting at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Now, this is a good chapter for you to use in your devotions sometimes. Read it. Study it. And the Lord wants to open up some of these things to us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's got to be our ultimate, our ultimate purpose or reason. Or, you know, we don't want to depend on man's approval, do we? It will fail us. But we can depend on the approval of God and know the promises, just like the little lesson last Sunday. The promises are true. They cannot lie. He changes not. So if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he wants us to recognize why he is for us. Why is he for you? Is he for you? Does he care? Yes, he cares. His name is God of love. God is love. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That should assure us that God loves us. How shall he not then with him, with Christ, freely give us all things? What do you need? You know what? We are such a blessed people in the material world. Are we asking for any material additional things? Most of the time we're not. But we feel the need spiritually, don't we? And he wants to give us all things concerning our spiritual walk. He wants us to be, and it says this in his word, he wants us to be strengthened. But, I got to back up a little bit. He says, when we've suffered a while, he wants to strengthen, establish, and settle you and me through suffering or through hard things. When we turn to him and we cry out to him and we say, Lord, this is what I need. It's not so much my wants, it's my needs. I'm going through this hard place and I need the grace of God to help me rise above this. Will he do it? He says he will freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God? It is God that justifies. Oh, I want to tell you, he's ready and willing to forgive. He's ready and willing to hear your cries. But remember, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. That's what gets his attention. When we pray to God in the name of Jesus, and he'll turn his attention toward us. And then skipping down to we'll read 34. Who is that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is given, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. So when you get to feeling like you're unloved or uncared for, or God is silent, or you don't feel, do you always feel God? No, we don't. That's why there's called faith. We believe in his word because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we believe it. But let me tell you something. Jesus is interceding for you right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. You are important to him. And he knows your need. He may even know, no, he does. He knows our wants. But he definitely knows our needs. And he is saying, my name before the Father, interceding and praying for us. Oh, he loves us. He has the greatest love for all of mankind. He has no respecter of persons. He does not show one more favor than the other. And that means you. He loves you. And so now I'd like for us to consider the next few verses quickly. Who, and I like to say what, shall separate us from this love? What can really separate you from the love of God? Is there anything that comes that would just be so hard, I can't bear it? What do we do when we feel, I can't bear this thing any longer? What do we do? Don't we go to the scripture and to the word? And it says, he will not give you more than you are able to bear, but he will with the temptation. You're tempted. You're tempted to say, oh, this is too hard. I can't bear this. But with that temptation, what does it say? He'll make a way for you to escape. And I often have said to others, and I have to say it to myself too, when I'm in those places, look for the way of escape. Because it's there. There is a way for you and me to escape when things seem harder to bear than what you can bear. So who or what can separate you from the love of Christ? And then it starts saying tribulation or distress. Anybody have distress this week? Anybody face any trials this week? Was it so hard that you would deny the love that has been showered upon you and me from God and his Son? It can't be that bad, because the love is greater. Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. On your own? Through your own strength? Are you more than a conqueror because you're strong? No. You are more than a conqueror through him that loves us. That's how we conquer. That's how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He gave his life. But we overcome also by the word of our testimony. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me. Make it personal. take this and you be persuaded for yourself. None of these things are going to be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to stop there. And we're going to glorify our Heavenly Father for His keeping and saving grace. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.